Mission Hospital is leading the way in providing you with the most advanced diagnostic care in the world, part of the St. Joseph Health System. And now it's time for Mission Radio. Here's Melanie Cole.
The heart is an electrical muscle, and caring for patients having difficulty with the heart's rhythm and electrical signaling are called experts in cardiac electrophysiology. My guest today is Dr. Jay Tiongson. He is an electrophysiologist with Mission Hospital. Welcome to the show. So tell us exactly what is an electrophysiologist, a cardiac electrophysiologist?
Well, a cardiac electrophysiologist is a type of cardiologist, but we all go through the training that a general cardiologist would go through, but then we actually even further subspecialize into really the heart rhythm as our focus. So all of us will do an extra year or possibly two, training specifically on the heart rhythm and its problems. And as you can imagine, this would entail anything from making the diagnosis to treating them with medications, as well as doing procedures specifically focused on the heart, such as pacemaker implantation or even cardiac ablation.
So you specifically work with the electrical parts of the heart for listeners. What conditions might these be for?
Yeah, exactly. So we are known as the electricians of the heart, exactly. And as far as conditions, really anything that could affect or does affect the heart's natural rhythm or the heartbeat. Now, that could be anything from a problem with the heart rate going too slow, to the heart rate going too fast or even going irregular at times. And there are various areas in the heart that can cause these types of rhythms. But as far as problems that patients would sort of experience, or symptoms rather, it would be things like palpitations, maybe fatigue, even people passing out, or a racing heart at times. These are very common complaints that we would sort of encounter with our patient population.
Now, if somebody comes to you, Dr. Tiongson, and says, you know, I've been having, my heart is racing, or I'm feeling fatigued, any of these symptoms that you've mentioned, you do some testing on them first, correct?
That is correct, yes. You know, it all begins, typically with our clinic and getting to know the patient, taking the vital signs, such as the heart rate and the blood pressure. But to get insight into the heart rhythm, we do have to do specific tests. And the 12-lead EKG, which is something that is done very commonly in many clinics, really gives us insight into our patient's individual electrical system, as well as any potential problems. But we can do further tests and even sort of longer monitoring tests of the heart rhythm, such as a 24-hour Holter or an event monitor, whereby a patient, if they're feeling symptoms, can sort of press a button and a recording of their rhythm happens instantaneously. We have the ability now to have patients wear a monitor for even 30 days, whereby it's being monitored live by a person to actually look for problems that a patient may not even feel. And then lastly, another diagnostic test that we can do is really to go into the heart and look for problems with testing, with certain maneuvers that we do to really test the heart's conduction system. That's called an electrophysiologic study.
So if somebody has an electrophysiological study and you find that they have atrial fibrillation or a ventricular tachycardia, something slow or fast, as you said before, then what are the treatments that you do? You mentioned pacemakers, and you do cardiac device implantation. What can somebody expect from a treatment such as these?
Well, what's very rewarding about our field is that patients can feel immediately better after a lot of the interventions that we do. For instance, if a patient's heart rate is very slow, a pacemaker can make it normal again, and oftentimes they won't feel their symptoms of fatigue or lightheadedness or even pass out anymore. If they have a problem with a racing heart, oftentimes our procedures can be curative in the fact that we can take care of any abnormal areas causing the rhythm, such as a abnormal pathway or a focus that likes to fire, a lot of these procedures then called ablation can hone in on that area of abnormality and cure these patients. You mentioned atrial fibrillation, and that is a very common problem now as our nation's population is aging. It is a disease of aging. And even with that, if medications unfortunately cannot restore someone's quality of life and control the rhythm, we can even offer ablation for this type of arrhythmia as a curative option.
Tell us what ablation is.
Well, an ablation or a cardiac catheter ablation is a procedure that we do whereby we actually enter the heart through the big vessel in the groin area. So similar to a cardiac cath that people would know that if they would have, say, a blockage, an interventional cardiologist would go in and sort of slide a catheter up to the heart area to evaluate those vessels. We don't look at those vessels. We are looking at the conduction system. So this is our cardiac cath for the electrical system, so to speak, whereby with catheters in the heart positioned strategically in locations, we can understand the heart's electrical system and then hone in on the actual problem. Now, the ablation part of it is really a delivery of heat, whereby the heat itself would cauterize tissue, similar to cauterizing a wart. In other words, unwanted tissue, unnecessary tissue, or tissue that's problematic. And these are very small burns in a very small catheter. But we have the ability now to really, navigate within the heart very safely with modern navigation systems as well as our catheter techniques, whereby, you know, in the past, the only cures, 30 years back for these types of rhythms would be potentially an open-heart surgery. Now we don't have to do that. Now we can do that all with a simple puncture, not even requiring stitches, and oftentimes people can go home the same day after these ablations.
So really, electrically, cells and in the heart can sort of run amok, and you are sort of stopping that, correct? And for the listeners, then what is the outcome of that? If you do this ablation, this heat that you were discussing, then what is the outcome? Is this something that has to be redone, or does it pretty much stop it in its tracks, and it's just a one-time thing?
Well, for a lot of our arrhythmias, it is a one-time type of procedure. But it really depends on the type and complexity of the arrhythmia or rhythm problem itself. If you could imagine if the source of the rhythm is really just one focus or one pathway causing, say, a circuit or, like you said, the rhythm running amok, then a simple cauterization of that small area would be a cure. Now, with other types of rhythm problems, the more complex rhythm problems, such as atrial fibrillation, we're talking about, you know, vast areas of the heart which can be involved in the rhythm itself. And the ablation can involve, you know, larger areas that needed to be ablated to sort of wall in or organize and basically suppress these types of arrhythmias. Now, these types of ablations may require a repeat type of procedure. And it may not just be a single procedure, but we do know that our results with ablation, particularly with atrial fibrillation, are still much better than the medications that we have at hand currently as far as offering
now,
a cure.
So, Dr. Tjongson, pacemakers. We don't have a lot of time left, but, you know, people have been hearing about pacemakers for over 30 years. Are there advances and things going on in the pacemaker world that are making these really amazing little devices keeping our heart running at a good specific beat?
These are amazing devices, and yes, with advances in technology, things are typically getting smaller and smaller and eventually are moving towards a leadless design as far as a pacemaker is concerned. But, you know, current technology, what's wonderful is it used to be that if you had a pacemaker, it would preclude you from getting certain diagnostic tests, such as an MRI. That is no longer the case. There is an MRI-compatible device, for instance. The battery life for these pacemakers are wonderful. Oftentimes, we'll get more than 10 years of battery life out of these devices. The lead design is excellent to the point where they're very small. They attach it with a very incredibly small screw, and patients can oftentimes be discharged, the next morning or sometimes even the same day after pacemaker implantation.
Well, that is such great information. And I'm sorry that we're out of time, Dr. Tiongson, and thank you so much for all that you do and for being with us today. You're listening to Mission Radio, and for more information, you can go to missionforhealth.com. That's missionforhealth.com, and learn all about cardiac electrophysiology and the benefits for the heart that it could have for you or a loved one. This is Melanie Cole. Thanks for listening.